To respond to this pandemic, we have all of our local cooperators, our public health staff, emergency management, all the rural health care district, our sheriff's office, fire department, search and rescue, EMS crew, our Forest Service people. We've had county commissioners, mayors, our superintendents, and then some of our community leaders that are really stepping up to help us organize a system that will respond well to the needs within this community. We are preparing a medical plan that will help our medical facilities, and at the same time we're building up the community support network so that we have clear ways to meet people's needs. Groups are coming together at all levels across the county to make this happen, and it's a pretty amazing experience to see that happen. Yesterday, our state health officer, Dr. Alexia Harris, signed a statewide health order closing restaurants, bars, theaters, gymnasiums, coffee houses, schools, K through 12 and colleges, concert halls, indoor and outdoor venues where groups of people can congregate, churches, daycares, and child centers. I'm going to have Dr. Fitzsimmons speak a little bit to this order and why this is so very important for our communities right now in Wyoming.
Well, Jan, if I could just jump in for a second. I've had all kinds of people come in the radio station and they say, oh, for crying out loud, Bob, you guys got to get off this case. We get a new version of flu every year. A few people get sick, a few people die. What's the difference? This is just another version of the flu, that's all. I think you know that's not true. But let's clarify that, because so many people are saying, what's the big deal? It's just another version of the flu.
Well, this is not another version of the flu. This is something that definitely is much more dangerous. And to remind people that every once in a while a flu epidemic or pandemic can be very bad too, and remind everyone about that 1918 pandemic, which was just a flu epidemic, but took maybe as many as 100 million lives across the planet Earth. So we're trying to flatten the curve on the transmission of this pandemic, which right now is in every corner of the globe and is taking a lot of lives in many countries. And we hope to soften the blow of that pandemic. That is the main thrust of all this. It's very important for us to take these efforts now to slow down the spread of this thing, flatten the curve. Everybody's, I'm sure, seen that image of looking at the spike in a pandemic versus flattening that curve. It's important for us to be able to maintain a situation where we will be able to handle this medically when we start having serious cases, which we will here in Sublette County and Wyoming. And everything is geared towards that. This pandemic, when people get very ill from that, it is still very survivable, but it requires specialized care in a hospital. And if too many people come at it at once and we're unable to deliver that care, then more people will die. So that's the reason. This is definitely different than any old flu running down the street. And I think that's pretty obvious to everybody. And all our efforts with this is to slow down that spread. And again, that phrase that we're using, flatten the curve, it's kind of, at the beginning, it's the be-all and end-all of how we deal with this. As time goes on, there'll be more and more issues that are not about flattening the curve. But right now, that's our main issue.
I also want to address that there is a lot of concern countywide that everyone is coming back from spring break right now and has been traveling to other places. And so this mandate is very timely because it will help us self-isolate kind of in our homes so that we are not gathering in groups of 10, you know, that we are spreading, decreasing the risk significantly. It truly, we don't have antivirals specific for this virus at this time, and we have limited testing available. So this is our one big tool that we can do at this point in the process to prevent and try to really hopefully decrease the spread within our county and our state.
Well, here's another statement I keep hearing from people walking into the radio station. They're saying, oh, Bob, it's no problem in Sublette County. I mean, gosh, we don't have any, no problem at all. Again, that's not true. We know it's not true, but what signs or symptoms have we seen? Are people getting tested to any high number?
We have tested some people in Sublette County, but not a large number. As you know, the testing was not very available at all until a couple of weeks ago, and then it was very limited, and it had to go through the Department of Health down in Cheyenne, and they had very strict criteria. At the end of last week, we thought that testing would open up with the private labs, but that suffered a glitch this week for a number of reasons, including that earthquake in Salt Lake. That is getting back on track. We still have a limited number of test kits and are trying to be judicious in their use. That is expanding, and we hopefully it will continue expanding, and we will have more and more capacity to test. Because we're not testing people much, we really are in a situation where this could be fairly widespread, and we would just be unaware of it. One of the things about this coronavirus is that, especially early on, the symptoms can be very mild, and often these symptoms become more severe about a week into the illness. So it's possible that we already have a good amount of people in Sublette County who have been infected with this. And in the medical clinics, we are going on the assumption that that we do have that. Now, because this is a disease that is often pretty mild, not only in the first part, but also for the majority of people, 80 to 85% of people will have just a mild case of this with upper respiratory symptoms, maybe some myalgias and fevers. It's important to keep that in mind. Those people can be spreading this disease around. And even people who don't have symptoms can spread this disease around. So that's why we're being so proactive with our efforts to get people to social isolate, and why the governor has been proactive with this order.
In other words, the best thing to do to not get this disease is don't get too close to people, don't interact with too many people, don't touch the same things that somebody else touched. If you notice, I got a thing of Clorox wipes here, mm-hmm. and I think we all probably need a little thing, something like that, yeah. some kind of...
wash your hands frequently.
Yeah, wash your hands frequently.
Yep, avoid touching your face. If you have to cough or sneeze, cough into your arm or your sleeve, and disinfect as much as you can.
Now, the thing that scares me a lot is you've got these kids that are 16 years old and older, and that has nothing to do medically. That's when they get a driver's license. They get a driver's license at 16. And they're off on spring break, and they are out to be anywhere but here. So off they go, and they go off with the four winds and interact, and you don't know what they're going to bring home. Now, also, if I'm correct, these kids are going to come home and probably not show any symptoms, but yet, if they picked up the disease, they can pass it on. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's why right now is a time of concern for us with people returning home from spring break, the high schools, the grammar schools, and all these college students who've been sent home by the colleges.
I think Dr. Fitzsimmons can also speak to the fact that you can start spreading disease 2 days after you're exposed, but you're up to 14 days, but you are most contagious when you have active.
Yeah, when you are symptomatic is when you are most actively contagious. You can be contagious for 2 or 3 days before you have symptoms, and that period of being contagious can go anywhere from the second or third day that you've been exposed to this up to about the 11th day or so. They probably, in some cases, even much further. There's a little bit of doubt on that. I don't want to get people scared about viral shedding for 3 weeks or the fact that it's, you know, can be around for a long time. But it is something to think about in terms of cleaning surfaces and things like that. But mostly we're concerned about that 2 to 11 days after exposure, and a lot of times that's before symptoms have come or with people who never will show symptoms.
Now, we've got two kind of symptoms that we could be looking at here in Sublette County. One, I believe, is officially called the Pinedale crud. And, of course, we have that every year.
We know what that is.
And then we have, of course, the coronavirus. What's the difference between the symptoms of those two?
Sometimes they're not going to be all that different, and that's one of the problems with this. But with coronavirus, we're looking at fever. That is probably the most consistent symptom, but also cough and what we call dyspnea, which is a subjective sensation that you're not getting enough air or that you're having trouble breathing. Myalgias or body aches, those are kind of prominent too. So those are the main symptoms that we're seeing with coronavirus. But yeah, it can be pretty hard to tell the difference between this and the Pinedale crud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
I talked to John Barrasso, our senator, about it. He says where he comes from, it's called the Casper crud.
Well, he's wrong.
All right. Well, tell you what, let one of you grab a subject here and go with it.
So I think to get back to Dr. Harris, our state health officer, to her orders, we want to make really clear to because there is a lot of legal jargon in this document, that to our communities, what are closed, what businesses are expected to be closed, and what can stay open, and have Dr. Fitzsimmons give a little guidelines on some of that. The order was effective immediately, and it shall remain in effect till April 3rd. We are looking through the whole list. Restaurants that have dine-in service have to be closed. They can still provide takeout, and they recommend like curbside or drive-through service. And I do want to tell you that Alan Houston, our environmental health guy, has been diligently working with them in the last few weeks to make sure that they understand the hygiene and cleanliness needs. Travis Bingham, our PIO, is creating a list of closures and things that are open and what services they're providing. So if you can, do you want him to email Travis? To Travis Bingham, tbingham@subso.com. You can let us know what your business is doing, and then that way we can get that information out. Schools K-12 should be closed, and colleges, coffee houses, all bars, all theaters, concert halls, gymnasiums, all indoor and outdoor venues where groups of people congregate. That includes a lot of venues that we have. We really don't want people coming together at this point for any, even outside, in big groups. Churches, daycares, and child centers. Home and commercial.
There are some exceptions to the daycares. In that daycare that is provided to certain essential personnel are accepted from that. And if you have questions about that, you can direct that to public health and they'll help you decide whether you fall under that or not.
No, what, there's a there's
wait a,
a
minute. Oh, I can ahead, ask this. Yeah. So things that are not closed, we want to make sure that everybody knows that our grocery stores are not closed. They are our grocery stores are looking at strategies, and we are encouraging people to have fine strategies and businesses to help, you know, keep those groups of 10 to, you know, not congregating people more than 10. Having 6-foot spacing between them, increasing their hygiene and cleaning stuff within those stores that are staying open. Because we do need our grocery store services. And our grocery stores, both Ridley's and Bernie's, are offering early hours for seniors. So look at Travis's list to see those times. But that's a great way, after the store has been totally clean, to allow some of our seniors to get in those stores before the general public is there. Our pharmacies are staying open, and they also have some options. So do the grocery stores, too, for delivery service. So do the pharmacies. Our convenience stores and gas stations are staying open. Medical facilities are open. The clinics are doing screenings at the front door, but that's just for patient safety. So please help them along with that. Public health is staying open. We are asking people to call for appointment times so we can stagger the flow of traffic through our office. Hotels can be open, but restaurants can't serve food in them.
I do want to clarify a little bit with the medical facilities. They're both going to be open. They're definitely open. We are going to have some changes in the way traffic flows, both in front of them and through them. And so we urge you to call the clinics and tell us exactly what you need, and we'll tell you how we're handling that. We ask you to be patient with us. That is definitely going to make things just a little more complicated than usual. But anybody who's having medical problems is going to be taken care of. And if you have ongoing needs such as prescription refills, we will continue to do that. It may be in a little different format than you're used to. Our ambulance services and our emergency services are going to remain intact without any change.
Travis, can you speak to the parking flow? Do you know? It's on your...
Yeah, if you go to Public Health's Facebook page or the Sheriff's Office or Emergency Management page, as well as the clinics, there's a new map and a procedure of how they're doing that, of where you pull in and where you park.
Okay, a question that I wanted to ask is, a lot of people are asking, what about an automotive repair shop? What about an accountant's office? What about a law office? What about just typical businesses that have nothing to do with food?
Right now, we would like them to think about the traffic through that office and try to minimize congregation, and we're asking that they don't allow the congregation of more than 10 people at a time in there, and that they think about cleaning their facilities on a regular basis. And there are some directions on that on these websites. But that's basically what we're thinking, asking people to do right now. Limit the amount of people that are in there. And I think there's a lot of business that can go on without having 10 people in the same room. So hopefully a lot of business in Sublette County can continue as it always has. We're asking businesses to give some thought to this, making accommodations in certain ways. Perhaps you can tell people very specific times that you want them in there and things like that.
Now, on some private matters where, let's say, you hire a housekeeper to come in once a week and vacuum your rugs and stuff like that, I take it that's not really covered by the governor's order?
No. I think it's just common sense stuff. If you're sick, stay home. If you are sick and you're having somebody come clean your house, don't have them come clean your house.
Good point.
You know, if people can work from home, work from home. If not, you know, can you stagger schedules at those work offices and help, you know, decrease the flow, like Dr. Fitzsimmons said, under those conditions? The other thing that this is a U.S. guideline, You know, if you are a person that has underlying health conditions like diabetes, heart disease, chronic lung disease, over 65, stay home. Stay away from other people. Don't expose yourself. Okay. Travis has got a question for us.
We got a question on the Facebook Live. Bettina asked, the Southern Democrats are having a ballot drop-off at the Pinedale Library on the 28th outside. Do you feel like that's allowed under the new order?
I would say yes.
And, of course, the library is closed, so that would be outside the library. Mm-hmm. What about hair salons? There's several in town, and it's hard to stay 6 feet away from the person whose hair you're cutting. Are they affected by this?
This order doesn't say that, so unless we get new guidance from the state, right now they are like any other business. I guess I would totally encourage them to maybe, we can work with them at Public Health to do the little screening of asking questions, you know, are you sick? Do you have a fever? You know, have you been sick before they provide services for someone in an enclosed area?
No, it's a good question because that's really close contact. You spend quite a bit of time, 2 or 3 feet from each other's face. So, you know, I think if they call us up at Public Health, we'll give them some guidance on that, but I don't know that we have the best answer on that.
That would be up to individual businesses, too, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm at a blank right now. Okay. Normally, I always have questions.
You know, there's some things that we want to emphasize here, Bob. You know, we would like people to self-isolate as possible. Really go out only when you really need to, even people who aren't sick or people who don't have any risk factors. We'd like you to think about travel. And if you don't have to travel somewhere, now is a good time to not travel, both for yourself and for the general risk that you'll add to the total risk in Sublette County. If you are sick, we want you to stay home, even if it doesn't seem like anything like the coronavirus. We want to kind of people to know that we don't think that this is a situation where you have to panic. Nobody's panicking here. We have been setting up organizations to deal with this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and everything really is in place. And a lot of people, both in Sublette County, in the surrounding counties, in the state of Wyoming, have taken a lot of measures that we feel are going to pay off pretty well, and we feel like we're all in a pretty good position to deal with this. So that's our important message. It's not time to freak out, but it is time for us to ask you and to ask each other for some extraordinary behavior. So,
now, I understand that you are accepting some volunteer help. Can you explain a little bit about what kind of volunteer help, what qualifications, how do they get in touch?
So we are setting up a... we have got a volunteer coordinator who's helping set up both our medical volunteers and our community volunteers. And so that whole network is coming together at North and South County in various ways. Our coordinator has an email, and we'll get that out there, that we would like everyone to email if they're willing to be a volunteer. If you could put in, you know, whether you would be, if you have medical training, or if you would just like to volunteer on the community side, that email is sublettecovid, COVID, volunteer, at gmail.com. And then that way we will call you and screen you for what would be appropriate roles for you. We're getting all the pieces in place so that we can train people, so that we can make sure that we are not asking our volunteers to go into an unsafe situation, that they have the training that they need to be able to do whatever position they need to do. We also want to use that same Sublette COVID volunteer email for people in the community if they have requests, if they can't go to the grocery store or if they can't go to get food or their pharmacy pickup. If they could flow their requests through that email also, we will coordinate that effort. We're going to ask that those requests come in by noon so that you would be looking to get your delivery or service done the next day. In North County, we have Rendezvous Point, who is serving meals at curbside starting on Monday, and they are still taking their orders for meals for people over, I think, 60 or 65. I think 60. Yeah, 60. And they...
yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, okay, good.
And 60 and older.
And so they are coordinating their delivery. That way, if you can do a drive-through pickup, someone will hand you a meal out the door in a safe manner. But they also, we're working with them to coordinate if they need meals delivered to homes.
Now let's go back to that email.
And one more thing, Bob. I'm going to just say South County has the same thing. Joan Mitchell has her system set up through the senior center there. She's taking orders, and then they are coordinating their delivery. And same thing, but you need to call and sign up for that meal. She is providing some just drive-up service, but coordinate with them. Marbleton, the town of Marbleton, is working with our volunteer coordinator on the south end to help coordinate services, and then we have Lions Club and all kinds of volunteers on the front, on the north end too, to make one coordinated system to make this happen for people.
Now, on the email address, it only takes one incorrect letter and it doesn't work. Uh-huh. What I'm showing on the sheet of paper I have is that volunteers is plural. Is it volunteer or is it volunteers?
Okay, I'm wrong. It does have an S, Bob. Thank you.
It does have an S, so it should be sublet COVID volunteers at gmail.com. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify that. Sublet COVID volunteers at gmail.com. Again, one character wrong and it doesn't go through.
Thanks, Bob.
Cindy asks,
can you point the microphone at him?
Testing for COVID currently. I think you already kind of answered that earlier, but...
We do. The problem has been that we had a limited number of testing kits, and so we were very judicious in who we would test. That has expanded a little bit, and so we're probably going to be loosening up those standards. And then we've had a problem with turnaround, not only us, but all the hospitals. The first test we sent off came back in a day and a half. But now, for us, for Jackson, for Sweetwater, it's taken 5 to 7 days for that to get back. That's a little bottleneck that we expect the system to fix pretty soon, but I can't say when.
I would like to speak to the testing criteria, because we have to follow the Wyoming Department Health Guidelines for testing criteria, and that is changing over time, like Dr. Fitzsimmons says, as the tests become more available, but we want you to know what the current testing criteria are. People have to have a fever, signs of respiratory illness, and have had close contact with a confirmed case of COVID-19. That's the first category. The second category is people that have fever or signs of respiratory illness. They've had a negative influenza test, and they are over 65 years with underlying health conditions like that diabetes, heart disease, and chronic lung disease. The third category of testing is hospitalized patients that have fever, respiratory illness, and have had a negative flu test. Those are the current guidelines from the state so that they can prioritize the testing right now. Those may loosen up in the future. And we are planning how we can test people in different ways across the community when those tests become available. And we will allow people, so please don't get mad at the clinic if they cannot test you. Those are the guidelines. And, you know, the clinic has really stepped up to provide specific guidance through they're asking if you are sick to call the clinic, and they will guide you and get you to a nurse or provider that can speak to you about your symptoms and testing. Some people can recover at home and we are actually, I want to let everybody know, we're putting up a website that will have all these information sheets on how to clean, what to do if you're asked to stay home and not get tested, if you're sick. we are going to link all that in, and Travis will get it out to everybody. We're working diligently to get all those fact sheets on there. If there's questions that are not posted on there that you would like to have done, get them to Travis and or Public Health, and we'll make sure that information is available countywide. I also want to let people know that we are in process of setting up a central phone line, which would take any questions about COVID-19, and then that central service would direct you to where you need to go. This will help the flow of calls coming in through the clinic so that they can focus on the people that really have an illness and are sick at this time.
Okay, well, I guess we're almost done here, but I'm sure there's always a little wrap-up that somebody would like to give. Let's see if we can...
Can I add one thing?
Aim the microphone. Travis, I'm hearing that people can't hear
also
you.
Also video. So this is Sergeant Bingham at the Sheriff's Office. One more thing we want to encourage everybody is that government's still running in Sublette County. The courthouse has issued a closure to the public, but county employees are still running in the background. The county still has to operate. Essential services are still available. Emergency services, 911 is still up. So just rest assured that stuff's still operating in the background.
Okay, and could you tell us a little bit about the 211 phone number? Where's that answered and what does that do?
There's a central Wyoming 211 system, and they've already been in place for a long time, but that link people to services. But they have picked up their staffing statewide so that they can answer general questions about COVID. And I think that's a great resource for right now. And then we're hoping by next week we can have that phone number up and live for our Sublette County service so that people have a local place to call to get specifically directed to service and connected.
Well, one more question. Have we had very many tests done so far in Sublette County? Are you able to give us an approximate number of how many tests we've had?
Well, we've done a handful, Bob, and that's what I'll say. And so far, they've come back negative. There's maybe a couple more that are still out there waiting results, but that's what I'm going to say on that. I do want to say that there's a lot of people in Sublette County that have been working on this for a while, and more every day that are being pulled into this. We've been thinking about contingencies. We've been planning for contingencies. We feel like the county is well prepared for this, and we've been getting a tremendous positive response from people who understand the seriousness of this situation, and almost universally everyone in Sublette County is cooperating with what we're doing, and that makes me feel very good about this. I look around, talk to my colleagues in other communities, and I hear the same thing. I think that you hear a lot of things on TV about how the country's not prepared for this, and I think it's a mischaracterization. I think there's been a lot of preparation done for this, and that we're in about as good a position as we can be, and I think we're going to come through this pretty well. But it is a serious thing, and we can't really avoid all the consequences that are come from this pandemic. It's going to be a lot better the more we get everybody getting on board with the program. And that's the big thing. We're not going to let anybody starve to death in their apartments. Nobody's going to have that happen. Everybody's going to take care of each other, and we're going to come through this, and it's not going to go on forever. It's a marathon, as our Jim Mitchell is always telling us, but it's not going to go on forever. We're going to get through this, and then we're going to get back to sunny days.
I did want to mention the schools are also going to be able to help feed some, like a cold sack lunch, so contact them as they get those services available so that kids, since they're not in school, can still have an option for lunch. And then in comment to Dr. Fitzsimmons, I think we just really want to let our county know that we are very aware that we have limited capacity to provide hospital care if our surrounding counties are restricted. But we have developed a medical plan, and we are finding creative ways that we can expand services and take care of patients here in Sublette County at different levels if needed. I think it's great. We've developed the community side response, and we're developing the medical side response, and it's countywide. It's a huge effort, and we really thank everybody for helping us really get this going.
Now, for those who tuned in halfway into this discussion, can they go to it's Sublette County Rural Health is what they want to go to, right? Let's find out. Where do they go?
So we've been streaming this live video through Sublette County Public Health's Facebook page.
Yes.
And when this is done, it becomes a recorded video that's always available there.
So always be there. And what they want to search for.
And also, we're putting all our messaging on Public Health, the Sheriff's Office Facebook page, Sublette County Emergency Management Facebook page, and the county website, sublettyo.com.
Okay. So if they're starting fresh, they've never done this, they go to Facebook and they do a search for Sublette County Rural Health.
Public Health.
Sublette County Public Health. Mine came up with Rural Health, but maybe that's
different. Bob, a lot of that's going to be over on our website too, but the main one is Sublette County Public Health.
Sublette County Public Health. Okay, thanks.
And we're working directly with Travis to make sure that our numbers are very accurate from the state reporting. So Travis is very much putting out, as soon as we get information about the positive tests in Wyoming, and all our numbers will come from the Wyoming Department of Health. There always is a lot of traffic about rumors and this and that. But Travis is being meticulous on making sure that we report accurate information to our residents of Sublette County.
Okay, I found it here. Sublette County Public Health. I was wondering why I couldn't find it on my phone, but now I found it. Sublette County Public Health. Tell your friends to go on Facebook, go to that location, and you can see what they may have missed here. Any closing thoughts?
Any questions out there?
No new ones are coming up.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by, and again, encourage people to go take a look on the Facebook page and see it again in case they missed it or they want to hear it again.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate you having us on.
Well, we really thank you for coming by and taking the time to do this. Appreciate having you on here.
Yes.
And also, KPIN Radio is continuing to have a pre-recorded message at the top of each hour to just go over some of the basics. I pretty well overhauled it last night, so it's not the same old thing over and over again. But we did freshen it up. And then as we get new information, I will typically break in and change that recording.
We did cancel our public sessions, the next two, but we will look at how we get another, if we need to do updates, and we'll get with Bob and get that out there when needed.
Yeah, and you're more than welcome to come back and do some more, of course,
thank
anytime.
You. Yeah.
Happy to have you here. All right. Well, that should wrap things up here. A big thank you going out to Dr. Brendan Fitzsimmons, the county health officer, and also to Jana Lee, the public health nurse manager, Travis Bingham for coming by and organizing it, and Robert Galbraith with the newspaper, who's sitting here taking notes so that you can read about this in the newspaper. So that's one of the nice things about Sublette Counties. We all pretty well get along with each other and try to reach out, help one another. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.